Chapter 15, The Greatest Idea in the World. That Thursday night, while Mum was at work, instead of doing my homework, I took my Tintin pencil case and my exercise book and went and sat down by the window in the kitchen. I wanted to come up with a plan just like Tom and Josie and Michael had done, and thought if I sat there, maybe my brain would come up with something exciting all on its own. I have a desk in my room, but I like sitting in the kitchen more because then I can see the sky and the whole city too. Tom says it doesn't matter how big or how small a flat is. If it's on the top floor, it becomes a penthouse. That's the kind of house that movie stars live in. I guess they must like sitting in kitchens and looking at skies and cities too. I waited a long time for my brain to think of something. But when Mum came home, she found me still sitting at the kitchen table, pressing the Snowy and Captain Haddock buttons on my pencil cases. I couldn't think of anything, not even after she came and sat with me to watch the sunset. I love watching the sunset with Mum. She calls it the magic hour, because you can see colours you won't ever see again, and birds that might fly away forever, swimming across the skies together. But I can only ever do it properly with Mum. I've tried to watch the sunset on my own and feel just as happy, but I can't seem to do it at all. It just doesn't work. By dinner time, I still hadn't thought of anything, so I went straight to bed to see if my brain could think of things better when it was lying down. But I fell asleep instead, and had a nightmare so scary it made me wake up. I had dreamt of being on a piece of wood in the middle of a dark sea. At first it had been quiet, but then, to my right, a girl had begun to cry. She was about to be swallowed by a giant whale, and suddenly, on my left, my dad was shouting for help from a sinking boat, and no matter how hard I tried or how much I wanted to, I couldn't help the girl or stop my dad from disappearing into the water. If you've ever woken up after a nightmare when it's pitch black and so late that nothing in the world is awake, you'll know that it isn't nice at all. When I woke up, I couldn't see or hear anything, so for a moment, I wasn't sure if I was awake or still in my nightmare. But then I heard one of the mice squeaking in the kitchen, and I knew I was awake. That's the good thing about animals. They always let you know they're around, especially when they're hungry. And if they're around, then you know you're real and the world around you is real too. I was feeling hot and damp, so I got up and pulled back the covers to make sure I hadn't wet the bed. Luckily, I hadn't. I hate wetting the bed. I used to do it all the time after Dad died. But then, when I turned 7, something happened, and I stopped doing it. Maybe when you turn 7, your body knows you've become too old to wet the bed anymore. I didn't lie back down in case I had a nightmare again, so I tiptoed into the kitchen to get a glass of water and see the mice. Mum says that years ago an old woman who bred all sorts of exotic animals used to live in our flat. And that could be why we found a small nest of bright coloured snakes in our kitchen last summer. Or why we have 2 mice living with us. But I don't mind. I like mice because they make good friends. For just a tiny piece of food they become your friends for life. They disappear if they don't like you, so you always know if they're going to be your friends right from the start. And it's always good to know from the start because it saves you from wasting your best cheese. After I got a drink of water, I went back to my room. But I was still too scared to go back to sleep, so I sat on the floor and got one of my favourite Tintin comics out from underneath my bed. It was the one about a rich old opera singer who comes to stay with Captain Haddock, even though he doesn't really want her to, and whose green diamond gets stolen. I couldn't really concentrate on the story because all I could think about was Amit and his sister Syrah being in the sea. But then, just as I was thinking how the rich old opera singer looked like the Queen, except with a much bigger nose, it suddenly happened. I had it, an idea. And it was, without a doubt, quite possibly the greatest idea in the world. It leapt right into my head just like a giant frog, and jumped around until I knew it had to work. It just had to. You can always tell when you've had a greatest idea in the world because it pops up from nowhere. Ordinary ideas take an awfully long time to become an idea because they're ordinary, so your brain can't get excited about them and has to make them slowly, like thousands of boring bread rolls being baked in an extra slow oven. But when an idea is truly great, it doesn't take any time at all. It suddenly appears and just makes your eyes go wide and your brain feel as if it's just been pushed out of bed. Jumping to my feet, I got out my exercise book and jumped and drew out my plan. When I'd finished, I stared at it and went over it again and again in my head. I knew right away that it would work, but only if Tom and Josie and Michael helped and kept it all a secret. I got back into bed and lay there wishing for the morning to come, because as soon as it did, I was going to put the greatest idea in the world into action and help Ahmet find his family. I knew it was going to be the most exciting thing any of us had ever done, and there was a chance it might get us into trouble too. What I didn't know was just how dangerous an adventure it was going to be, and quite how much trouble it was going to get us in.